You're listening to Around Comics, episode 124. This is Around Comics, the comic book roundtable, where twice a week you'll hear a revolving panel of guests discuss comic books and graphic novels. On every Thursday episode, like this one, yes, you'll hear either topic discussions, creator interviews, Comics 101, or creator spotlights.
Miscellaneous bullshit.
Today, yes, is just that. We are cleaning out the inbox and reading listener emails, forum posts, and listening to a few voicemails,
which are awesome.
We did. We got some great stuff to go
love
over
the
today.
Voicemails.
Let me introduce the rest of today's panel. I'm Christopher Naisman. Joining me, as always, are Brian Salazar.
Sal, to you.
To me. Mr. Scotty Young.
I think emails are of the devil. The whole emailing, the idea
the
of electronic mail are of the devil.
I remember my first email.
Yeah.
Without email?
The devil is pretty cool. I like that guy.
See,
I love me some Beelzebub. How about you, Tom Peters?
This is a strictly work-for-hire situation I'm in, so I'm not paying attention unless someone asked me like 5 minutes beforehand. What are we talking about? Email?
Yeah.
The devil?
Yeah. You like the devil?
Never mind. Move on. Hello, Tom.
The devil doesn't exist.
Well, if you don't believe in God,
I don't believe in email.
That was the greatest trick the devil ever played.
Fooling Tom into thinking he doesn't exist?
Specifically fooling me. What? Fooling everyone? This fooling Tom.
Just Tom.
Just Tom.
Nobody else. All right, folks.
This
the
devil?
This
no.
is hard to fool. Before we get to all
no,
of the
all, well, all.
Before we get to all of the devil's emails, I want to remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com. Waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship for free. Whether you're buying an absolute edition or catching up with showcases and essentials. InStockTrades.com is your new best friend.
Is when you read the InStock Trades, is
yes.
that your weekly cardio or something?
Yes.
Is that way how you get your heart rate up?
Yeah, it's about blanks.
I got an email from somebody. Did I tell you that one?
No.
I got an email from somebody wanting to know if you were in a hurry.
To get through it?
Yeah. reading
week.
That really fast.
Every week he's in
I am a quick reader.
That's his. It's your vocal cardio.
Yeah.
Energy.
I got to get a workout somehow, yeah. Scotty. Look at me. I need something. I got to do whatever I can, man.
I got to
burn
somewhere.
Those calories.
This is the 20-minute read.
I got to burn off that cheeseburger. All right, Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles.
That's the greatest. That was
the greatest lie that's ever over told.
We're trying. We're working on it.
Not the devil convincing me he doesn't exist.
Dark Tower Comics is located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago.
Chicago.
If you're in the area, drop by and say howdy.
Howdy.
All right, guys. This week, like we said, we're clearing out the inbox. We kind of fell behind on some of our listener emails. And we said, hey, let's just make an entire episode of it. We get great feedback from listeners from all over the world. And this episode is really kind of a thank you for all the people it is a love letter to fans of the show that have taken the time to be interactive.
This
and,
show's so metaphorical. Yeah. Boot camps and shit.
Have we ever gotten an email from Africa?
No.
I don't believe so. I don't know that there's
Bangkok.
Nigeria.
Tokyo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a Nigerian prince said that, yeah.
It'd be a conflict email.
Well, I tell you what, we've got a lot of messages to get through.
Took
so
me a
let's go ahead and jump in. I'll take the first one here. This is from Jan in Louisiana.
A new forum poster.
Yes,
welcome, Jan.
Says nice podcast, guys. Question mostly for Scotty, but interested in everyone's opinion.
I have something to say about that.
Here we go.
Who cares what I have to say about this? After reading a lot
of the reactions to Humberto Ramos on Runaways, not on this board, but on others, I've noticed that most people don't like Humberto or refer to him as an acquired taste. And I've also noticed that a lot of people said the same thing about Scotty's work on New Warriors when it was announced. My question is that, do you think that in the present industry environment that people look down on an art style that is less realistic and more stylized, or refer to it as an acquired taste, which I feel is a slight?
I think before I get to whether it's acquired taste or not, I tend to try and remind myself all the time that when you see a few people, you know, even a few, as in 20 to 30 people on various message boards say they don't like it, I have a hard time saying, if a book sells, let's say Umberto's been, you know, the majority of Umberto's books are in the top 20. When he's on Spider-Man or when he's on X-Men, I mean, these are books selling 60, 70, 80, 90,000 copies an issue. So even if there were 100 people, which... that's, you know, 100 individual people on a message board saying they don't like it. I can't myself consider that a lot. It's just too little of a number. Those are just the people that we're seeing saying this. A lot of times the people that like stuff, I'm one of the people, I think everybody by nature is a person who, when you like something, you just enjoy it and you move on to the next thing. It's when you don't enjoy. So if you go to a restaurant and eat and you enjoy the food, you walk out and you had a good meal. If you go and you had terrible services, terrible food, you complain, right? But I don't actually think that a lot of people hate it. I think the people that are vocal about it don't like it.
Well, you know, it's on the, you know, what do you want to call it, an acquired taste or whatever, and using the food metaphor. If you're raised on, you know, hamburgers and steak, and then someone takes you out for sushi, you may go, oh, I don't want that, you know. But, you know, it's like work like, you know, Ramos or Darwin Cook, or, you know, folks that draw in I don't want to say a cartoony style, but in a less realistic style. And I think a lot of this is a byproduct of the art that, you know, you go back to John Byrne or the art in the 90s where it was this, you know, like, you know, super hyper realistic art. I think that's what people have become accustomed to. And you look at someone like your art or Ramos's art, it's different.
Yeah, it's just a different world. I mean, you got American comics. I mean, we are 90% superhero and we're kind of in this little bubble of...
But Ramos draws great superheroes.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's fantastic. It's just people forget, you know, the comic book, average comic book age seems to get older and older each year, and people are remembering where, you know, guys like Humberto or myself or some of the less realistic guys get our influences. Sometimes it didn't start off coming from comic books. It came from animated features and cartoons, and, you know, they are cartoonists.
And a lot of that stuff came from, like, Kirby. You know, so it kind of all goes back to that.
Like, Snow White was around before Kirby. You know what I mean? Like, okay, sure. I'm saying, you know, like, the art of interpreting a figure through a style of line has been around long before the great, you know, quote-unquote great comic book artists. And not taking anything away from them, but not everybody that gets into comics was directly influenced by a previous comic book artist. I think so. I mean, myself, I was actually struggled because I felt like I was influenced by more things outside of comics, but when I first got into comics, I felt like I needed to try to... I got to look like somebody else in comics or else it won't work.
I think that brings up a good point as far as so many artists, they only go back to what's been done before, and rarely do you see any sort of breakthrough or attempt to stretch beyond that. I mean, you do see it occasionally, but a lot of times it's like, it's a variation of what we've seen before. Sure. And I think with comic fans, it's sort of the same thing. It's like too many comic fans only like things because that's sort of what they've been accustomed to liking, or almost being told what to like to some degree. It's hard sometimes to determine why you like something.
Sure.
I mean, or explain why you like something. It's much easier to go, oh, yeah, he liked it, so I like it too. Yeah. And when something comes around that doesn't fit into that mold, it then becomes hard to adjust to that.
We definitely are in an odd little bubble industry where the fans feel like they own this form of entertainment, and it's so close to them that they feel the need. The vocal people, again, and I think
it's a small
these people are the minority, you know.
But they're the loudest.
The very loud minority want the entire industry to be exactly what they want. And, I mean, I think that's an unfair...
And it's symptomatic of the same sort of mentality. It's like the people that are the loudest are the ones that are... It's so ingrained in their head of this is what a comic book has to look like.
Well, and, you know, for in my mind, and I don't know if I could keep doing this job if I didn't try to think this way, but for every person that doesn't like my work or Umberto's work, there's a person who does.
Right.
So that's the way I look at it. I mean, I tend not to spend any time on message boards or trolling around on reviews and things simply because of the fact that I am careful to not fool myself into thinking, wow, those 10 people that might have posted 700 times, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still 10 people.
Right.
And I can't let that affect my, you know, the ideas that I might want to try out.
Do you think part of it is also sort of symptomatic of, because I know you've heard this before, like people refer to you as like anime-ish,
right,
even though that's really not your influence, you know what I mean? But do you think it's part of, like, when anime and manga first came around, a lot of, you know, comic fans were like instantly... aggressively against it because it was so different, and do you think that's part of it? Is like because they lump that style, you know, any kind of style.
I mean, I don't think it's as deep as people want it. People want it to be a deeper issue than it is, and to me, it's just not. It's no different than music. I mean, there's a reason that your parents will tell you as a child. That music, what is that music you guys are listening to? It's not like my music, you know.
Right.
It's every generation attaches themselves to what they grew up on. I mean, it's the reason that while people older than me will hate the 90s, you know, you hear like John Suntris, the 90s is the worst time in comics, or you know,
worst time in mainstream comics for a lot of people.
For a lot of people, and and for me, it's the exact opposite. That's when I got into comics. So it's, I mean, there's. It's a generational situation, and it just comes down to that. I mean, it's personal tastes mixed with your age, mixed with what you got started on. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that I don't ever feel slighted. I don't, you know, I like to draw, and I try new things with myself, and I just, the best thing I can do is not pay attention to any of it. That way I can just keep trying to do, if I please myself, I do, and a lot, sometimes I fail, and who cares, you know?
Did you happen to catch the Image reunion?
I read a little bit about it.
They had the video up on it, and they were talking, and I think it was McFarlane was talking about...
We should save it for our Image show.
Well, okay. There's just point that you've talked about before, is that from a personal perspective, that's what got you into comics and into drawing comics and everything. And he sort of brought up the same thing. It's like people bash those guys and what
you
they
wouldn't
did.
Have, you wouldn't have. I mean,
but how many people? Or actually, it was Liefeld.
How many creators today would not be in comics? And I'm not just talking about the cartoony guys or the weird guys. How many guys today that people love? And we would not be in comics had it not been for those guys, the Robert Kirkmans, the Ryan Otley's, you know, these guys, you know, myself, anybody who is
all you guys in your 20s right now that are coming into comics grew up on that stuff.
You know, that's where where I got my start. So anyway, yeah, we
sure
can.
Parts like us.
Hopefully, that was a good enough answer.
Yep. Jan, thanks a lot. Our next one, Sal.
Brent Schoonover, the artist on Horwood, and he's got a new book I think he's working on now. He said, "Hi, gang, this is Brent Schoonover here. Just wanted to say I've been enjoying the show very much, and episode 118 was really great. This leads me to my question that is mainly geared towards Scotty again." And everybody self-spells your name wrong. They put a C in there. "Or any other artists that are there."
Mike, here's one for you. And Dave, come on over.
This is Brent Schoonover. He said, "I have a few comic projects under my belt, but was wondering to those more experienced than that when finishing a comic project, do they tend to have a hard time drawing afterwards? If so, what do you tend to do to help kick this problem, as I assume you have to start another issue or another project rather quickly? I've had drawing ruts before, but I can't imagine having them with the type of pressure that the deadlines you are under demand." So do you guys run into that?
I mean, I'm in it kind of right now, where I've done 5 issues of New X-Men, and my schedule does not change, but you, after so long of going fast, you really do at some point run out of a little gas. You know, you get to a point where you're just stalled. I mean, you're just a little tired. It's a lot I mean, drawing a comic, it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of drawings over and over.
It's a creative thing. It's not like you're, you know,
it is hard to wake up every morning and have ideas.
Right.
I mean, but that's the thing. There is no, I mean, it has to get done. You know what I mean? It's, so there definitely is problems. The only way to kick it is, I mean, just like most problems, it's just time. I mean, you'll get used to it. You gotta, there's some compromises that you have to make. You can't want everything to be perfect. And we talked about it a little bit on the show. You know, Mike and I pointed out, and Mike made good points with, you know, you got to make some concessions and build a skill set of, like, what's different. You know, Mike said, what's, you got to figure out what's good and what's good enough, you know,
right,
in a time situation. So just, I think one of the big things that you, that is maybe a good help is, don't get too wrapped up in, if you're drawing a comic on a regular basis, don't keep yourself in the comic book world. Go out and live life a little bit. The thing that inspires you to draw is your life. If all you do is read comics and draw comics and talk about comics, sooner or later you're getting no other inspiration to create anything. And it, all of a sudden, it's just like this weird little incestual situation you have going on, and you will, nothing will be new, and you won't be inspired to do anything.
You'll grow old and bitter.
Yeah.
And
so
curmudgeon-y.
Just keep yourself out. If you get in a rut, take the day off and double up the next day. I mean, that's what I do. If I have a bad day, I'll just draw more tomorrow. You know.
Okay. Brent finished up saying, "Thanks, guys. Hope Wizard World Chicago is a blast. I've decided that Scotty's idea of not attending shows till you have a new project to promote is a good idea. So I'm staying home to wrap up my graphic novel that should be out in November. Talk soon, Brent."
Can't wait.
You're
to
influencing
see it,
other artists. How do you feel about that?
That's
influencing young.
No, I'm gonna have to. You know, when I go to sleep tonight, I'll have to let my soul soak it in.
Would you recommend them showing up every Friday to some Mickey Mouse operation? Yeah. Is that the best way to spend your time?
Right. So let's see. Our next one is from Jack3K. Jack 3000.
Make another new poster on the forum.
You guys give lots of love to writers and artists, which is obviously understandable. But how about some love for the less credited folks in the industry? When was the last you guys read a comic that made you really take note of the colorist or letterer on a book? I won't be long-winded about it, but the colorist is, to me, is very, very. I mean, I that's the first thing I take notice of. I think the best artist out there can be destroyed by, you know, a colorist.
Yeah. Colors.
Yeah. So I'm definitely, while I might not talk about it a lot, well, I think even the European stuff, I think I've always made it a point to make sure color is up there.
Colorist, inkers, and letters are kind of like the offensive linemen of comics. A lot of times, the only time you notice it is
when it's bad.
Mm.
To me, and this is not a slight to inkers, but to me, color is more important than inks.
You can see a bad inker destroy stuff, and see a good
inker
really
improve
stuff.
An inker
is hard to tell.
An inker can help define a single drawing, or help really build out an illustration, whether, you know, panel to panel. But a colorist, a really good colorist, can amplify your storytelling
by totally
changing the mood and the color temperature. From sequence to sequence, it can really,
I mean,
take it to a different place.
For all the love that we throw Darwin Cook's way, I mean, can you imagine New Frontier not colored by, you know, Dave Stewart?
Right. I think it should be colored by Liquid. All glossy.
You know.
I'm horrible about it. I mean, it's rare that I ever take notice of inkers or letterers or colorists. I've tried to sort of train myself to pay more attention to that, but I don't know, my brain just doesn't work. But probably the last time that I noticed something like that was actually, and more so because I know the guy than anything else, was The Last Christmas and Hilary Barda inking over Rick, Remender, because I know enough of Rick's style and enough of Hilary's style that I could really tell what he had done. And then actually in the trade, they had pages, like penciled pages and then inked pages. You could see the difference. But it's hard for me, it's hard to tell sometimes. I mean, I think sometimes I'll see art that I don't particularly like, and it may be hard for me to tell why it, you know, whether it's, was it the penciler, was it the inker? You know, it's like,
I wish every book had one artist. I mean, that sounds terrible, because that means, I mean, I'm saying I wish a lot of people were out of work, but that's, I mean, in a perfect world.
Everybody
again,
akin
complete. To some of the European things where it's about you as an artist.
Yeah.
Because I have a hard time separating them. And that's why, I mean, you hear a lot of inkers that don't like to work with pencilers because of things. You have pencilers that don't like to work with inkers because of certain reasons. And it really is because you're producing a piece of art. And then when this art is getting passed around, it is, you know, it's a weird assembly line, unnatural situation.
That's exactly what it is. It's an assembly line to get them out on a monthly basis. Yeah.
Well, I think it's a pitfall, too, because sometimes collaboration produces something that none of the individuals could have necessarily done themselves, but it could also be worse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's a
Dark Knight Returns is not the same book without Klaus Janson's inks on Miller.
I think for me, my biggest problem with it is that most of the time I'm paying attention to storytelling, and not just from a writer's perspective, but storytelling of an artist, and it can be maybe, I don't want to say inferior or lesser quality art, but not necessarily like as pretty if the story is told well. If it's still done, you know, the sequential art, the actual storytelling that the artist
does.
That's
what I'm saying. Where the
I'm more concerned
color
about
plays
that.
A part in
it
that.
It does, but I don't
because I've picked up books where this big intense war's going on, and all I'm seeing are like, you know, like the sky is bright blue and there's white clouds and it's, you know,
another
bright green
thing
trees
about
and I'm like, this is a war. You know, this is a battle. The colors should tell me that this is an intense situation. You know what I mean? The best movie, I mean, when you watch Saving Private Ryan, the reason that
it's
not only is that a great storytelling, but the way that they bleached out the film afterwards
desaturated,
tells
yeah.
you should feel
it's
this
bleak.
Way.
It's,
yes.
Yeah. It should certainly.
Well, another thing on colors that it can vary so much from, and I know this, you know, because of my day job, is that color can vary so much because of the paper stock that it's printed on.
Sure.
You know, whatever paper grade you're printing on and the brightness, quality, value of those. So colors, it's hard to tell from issue to issue going over, you know, whether it's, you know, the traded glossy or whether it's more of a newsprint, that kind of stuff.
That's more of a technical side of things, I think.
But
it comes down to theory at the beginning of it.
Yeah, it's all
it's color theory.
But it can severely alter your coloring.
I'm color theory retarded.
But if you have good color theory, you could print it on toilet paper and you'd understand. Like, I think 100 Bullets, I mean, that book is printed, those are printed on newsprint.
But that adds to that mood. Now, what about lettering? Because I think lettering, while we don't talk about inkers and colors that much, I mean, a good letterer, we almost never talk about the lettering in a book.
Well, I think people would talk more about lettering if more people would. Starkings will do it on certain books if the creators want them to. I mean, steampunk's a good example of how fonts would change from certain characters had their own fonts to help you feel their accent a certain way. So you knew when that word balloon popped up, you could almost hear it because of the font that was used. I think if more people again treated that
as
like an
art,
and we talked about it, you know, on the other show with my Top of the Stack and the graphic design, the whole package. You know, if it was really thought about, when the penciler sat down or the person that sat down creating the book thought farther than just okay, I'm just going to draw and then I'm done.
Right.
But if you know, and sometimes it's not there that they're not thinking of it. It's just because it is such a chain. But if you had the ability to sit down and go, I'm going to draw this. I want the colors to look like this. I want the inks to look like this. And I want the lettering to be this kind of feel. I mean, again, that's in a perfect world.
Yeah. Sure. And it's tough in a monthly basis.
Sure.
Tom, why don't you grab our next one?
Oh, all right. Which is the next
Andy
one?
Jewett.
Andy Jewett.
Ah, all right. This is from Andy Jewett. It was interesting to go back and listen to the Chicago shows from last year and realize how far you guys have come since then. I may not be able to post as much as I would like to on the forums, but I'm always listening, and I always appreciate the time you guys put into the show. I look forward to what you guys will come up with next. See you in Chicago. Cheers. Question, is this still fun for you boys?
Yeah. Some days.
I look forward to it.
Most of the time.
Every
Ask
Friday.
Me in 20 minutes.
When Tom gets upset, it
yes,
turns
with a caveat.
Kind of
caveat.
It's fun for me just because it's my chance after working all week to come out and hang out with, you know, friends and literally get out of the house for a while and watch Chris stare at the camera. And
we've been joined by some other video chat. I see Wayne Cordova.
I shouldn't say that as if I'm like, oh, God, it's such a hassle to do it. I mean, it's no more annoying than, like, hanging out with your friends. Your friends can be annoying.
Sure.
You know.
Thanks, Tom.
Well, that's no, I mean, that's just odd. You know, like, you hang out with your friends.
You're going to get annoyed by it. If you hang around enough people long enough time.
You know, that's what happens. I mean, obviously, I like it enough that I fucking show up every Friday. You know, it's not like I got a sweeter deal going on somewhere else. If anyone else has a sweeter deal.
Yeah, yeah. Email. Please call
Tom at Around Comics.
Yeah, email Tom at Around
Comics. The shows are the best part for me. Like, the actual sitting down and us recording and laughing and having a good time is the fun part. Sometimes the rest of it, for me, gets to be a little...
Yeah, I don't do any of that, so I don't even know.
And I do less than Tom. I just come on here and be a big celebrity.
And so when you guys complain, it really gets kind of annoying.
Now, let's we'll be candid for a minute. Nobody's complaining about anything except, like, we just want to leave before 2 in the morning, right? Like, want to get dinner before 2 in the morning. That's nobody really complaining.
You burned me with a cigarette once.
I did.
Oh, well, there is that. No, it's not, it is certainly fun, and it's fun to go to the conventions and to hang out and, you know, like meeting guys like you. And
you love me.
Oh, well, yeah.
When it's not fun, we'll stop doing it.
Yeah, it has. I mean, that's the whole point of it. Yeah. I think
when it's not fun for a month.
When it's not fun, I won't do it. Yeah. You guys will still sit here for the next 5 years crying.
Yeah, when do I drop this? Do I collect the whole series? Does my life become my collector mentality with everything in my life?
I'm gonna put money secretly down with Casey on it, which one of you leaves first.
Oh.
And then we'll do a behind the music, and it's gonna be all bad, and like
I think Tom certainly would be probably
Tom was the first.
Tom, I'll be the second. Chris will be the last one. He'll be kicking and screaming, and
Chris is
going
to still set up four mics.
Yeah, Chris will be like, show up.
So what do you think, Chris?
From Chicago, this used to be a round table.
Hi, I'm Damon McKelvey. I hate Karen Gillan, and I want him to die. And you're listening to Around Comics.
Next one, Filthy McMonkey. Oh, he did have one other question.
Oh, yeah.
Scotty, you going to be around at Chicago at all? I know you're not going to shows to get work done on your projects, but will you be around even just on Saturday?
I will be there randomly throughout the weekend. I mean, I don't know if there'll be any specific place that I'll be. I may or may not do a few signings at the Marvel booth, so I would check the schedule at the Marvel booth. Other than that, you can pick up my sketchbook at the Brand Studio Press table. So, and then I'll be walking around with these knuckleheads and maybe videotaping Norton at his table, crying every time he draws a gravity sketch.
Next one you want?
Sure. Filthy McMonkey said, "Hey fellas, recent convert to podcasts in general and yours in particular. In the spirit of keeping it short, a question. Do any of you guys consider yourselves to be either a Marvel zombie or a DC, whatever the fuck you call a DC guy? Just curious because I started out as a Marvel guy, later switched to mostly DC, and have recently been slowly drifting back. I go where the fun is, and there doesn't seem to be a lot at DC right now. Keep up the good work. Tom rules."
Tom, you rule.
You rule, Tom.
Oh, pound it.
Yeah.
I'm a comics fan.
I was probably, for a long time, I was more of a Marvel zombie.
Sure.
I didn't read a whole lot of these, but I became much more of a DC guy in the last, I don't know, decade or whatever, 10 years ago.
I'm just a good story fan.
Yeah, now it's like, I'll read it. I don't care. It's like, if it's bad, I don't care who it's from, what creator, what. If it's bad, I won't read it. If it's good, I'll try it.
I'll be honest, I'm a DC guy. Mm-hmm. I'm far more likely to try something from the big two if it's from DC than from Marvel, just because when I was a kid, I read, you know, I'm more familiar with those,
world,
you know, with that
histories.
Stuff. I'm probably quicker to drop stuff if it's Marvel than I am if it's DC. You know,
that's
just to be honest, taste, you know, just...
A little loyalty with the DC
yeah,
love.
Yeah, it's a little bit there, but I read stuff.
You read a lot of stuff.
Well, that's the thing for me, like, having no, like, taking no side for me is, it's good because I don't feel any obligation to stick with, you know, like, if I start reading a trade.
Then you fucking work for Marvel.
Well, yeah, that, you know, but yeah. I'm saying if I'm reading through a trade and I'm not feeling it, I don't feel like, oh, but it's my, you know, my company. I have no problems with just saying, fuck this.
I don't have so much of that. I have more of, like, you know, DC comes out with the Metal Men, and I'll pick up the Metal Men, but if Marvel comes out with, you know, White Tiger.
Right,
you know,
you're not
like,
going to go in this.
I'm not.
I've certainly gotten to the point where I don't... I don't have a whole lot of loyalty to any one company, one
you
creator,
just have a
loyalty anything.
To me. Loyal.
Desperado. Just fucking move on.
Yeah, that too.
Well, I grew up a Marvel. I grew up a Marvel fan, and the thing is, I grew up as a huge X-Men fan, and then I got bored with X-Men, so that was kind of what allowed me to leave that. And I love DC now, but yeah,
read what's good. Don't have yeah, I'm fine. Zero cool. You know, don't have any kind of awesome. You know.
All right, the
oh,
next one
fucking
is
zero cool now with my backwards.
The next one is from Curtis Acosta in Tucson, Arizona. Says, looking forward to the episode. Here's my question. Are you guys still planning on the free comic book day bus and booze trip? Any details for the loyal listeners? I'm jealous of all the bottles clinking.
Thanks for the sound effect.
Nice Foley.
Yeah, I'm a Foley guy now. In the background, and would love to throw some beers back with the AC crew. And G-Dog chimed in and said, I second that.
Well, it was kind of a joke initially when I threw it out there about the booze cruise on Free Comic Book Day, but it seems like we do have a lot of people that would be interested in doing it.
Do you want to see me cry at 2 in the morning?
We haven't made any plans at this point. We other than just preliminary kind of stuff, but I think we are going to try. We are going to try and rent a bus maybe and get people signed up for it and hit like 3 or 4 comic shops and a couple of bars in between and do
dinner
a
afterwards.
Yeah, and do something for it. We definitely want to, but at this point we just haven't made any definite plans. I think what we're going to have to figure out is like who's coming, how many people we're going to have. Mm-hmm. So maybe we should start
a
sign-up
sheet. First Saturday in May is when it is. So
it's May. I think it's May 5th all the time. It's probably first Saturday.
We should have announced this before DC announced Final Crisis to really get the hype going. Grant Morrison's going to be there.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
But
we'll probably
start working towards that in like February.
Sorny.
So ambitious.
Yes, we're going to do that.
Well, we throw stupid shit out there, and then everybody goes, "Whoa, that sounds."
And
I mean, it was literally a joke, and it was like, but then all of a sudden people sounded excited about it. It's like, it'd be kind of cool to do.
Planning on drinking that Saturday anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys lose your ass on this show, don't you?
Just
fucking bleeding money.
No, not anymore.
Bleeding cash.
Not anymore.
Well, Sal knows I'm a chronic planner and organizer, so this stuff just...
Yeah, he'll just do it all, and I'll take credit for it.
Tom just shows up. With the beer.
We do want to have, if we do it, we got to have to have like a trivia contest on the bus Tom's going to run. You're going to have to do some work.
Yeah, we're
going to
make you work.
Looks like I'm going to have to buy a book.
Even though Scotty doesn't drink, he's going to come anyway.
Yeah.
We're going to bitch!
The next one we have from, is it Stefan or Steven?
Steven Aaron.
Steven from the Aryan Nation.
Steven Aaron. both names are spelled weird. Just wanted to say I really have been enjoying the show lately. It keeps me going and laughing, driving to and from work.
When somebody says it keeps me going, it's like I was going to kill myself.
They probably were.
But then...
Good old Steven was
Jeffrey
up on the
Dahmer.
Goddamn roof.
You could have had this podcast to listen to. Yeah.
Steven, did you you act like you had the palsy when you were in high school?
Listen to Monday's episode to know what that means.
The addition of Scotty Young was irritating at first. Fuck you. But now I really kind of like him. That joke won't get old. seriously, though.
You got no one to blame but yourself.
I know. Man, it's crazy. I'm like a wonky. I should get in advertising.
Yes, because you're just Mr.
You're like the master of like Ritz crackers and shit.
Your unsuccessful attempt to make water's awesome a catchphrase this summer failed, though.
Yeah, you're right.
Water's awesome!
I thought that was golden, too.
It's hot.
Yeah.
What else did you say?
Seriously, though, I think the episode about being an artist... with Mike Norton was excellent, and I hope he, Mike, and some other artists do a similar episode in the future. Well, thank you about that. Really, that was a good show, and I know I've gotten a lot of emails. I'm sure Mike had as well. I'm glad it helped you guys some way. Just us rambling. So, and when is Chris going to Greg Rucka or going to do a Greg Rucka 101 episode? I know he has serious man love for him.
That's true.
He does have his name tattooed on his ball sack.
Nothing definite now. But
I think we're going to be talking to Greg soon.
It's either going to be near the end of August, or then we're going to have to jump forward to probably this August or October.
It's because What? Ruck has been a bad boy. He's actually tied up in Chris's basement, and he can't see light again till August because he tried to escape.
Oh, we're going to have Greg on. It's I actually heard from Greg this week, and we're going to have him on here in the next couple
weeks.
So
we got the restraining order resolved.
it's all cleared up.
It's still that
whole... I'm misunderstanding. You guys joke, but it's like it's not just a one-way street. Greg and him email back and forth all the time.
Well, not all the time.
You guys talk a lot.
Not all the time.
Never show up at my house again.
Well, he knows.
Greg Rucka bigger or smaller than me?
He's bigger than you.
He's not taller than Scotty.
I don't know if he's taller. He's thicker and not fat thicker. But yeah, he was actually
not fat. Look at the fucking fire.
Damn, that was no joke. He was not like, I just called his wife a whore or something. Except he laughs at that.
He's like, no.
Greg Rucka, kick your ass. Seriously, dude. He will fucking
I will tell him after the show.
And then he will write an awesome fucking book for Oni about how he kicked your ass.
Hey, he was a bodyguard, dude.
Next email is Chris Chavez said, thanks to everyone involved with the show, from designing and maintaining the website to booking the guests to wrestling bears. Everybody's contributions are invaluable to making the show what it is. As a matter of fact, the only thing that could possibly make things any better is if you had a microphone located on Scotty's abs.
Why didn't Waters Awesome work?
Yeah. Everything
else that comes out of your mouth is fucking gold, except Water's Awesome.
Quick questions. Do you think it would have been much more difficult to build the AC roundtable dynamic if you had the...
An actual roundtable.
You had the participants contributing from remote locations like the Bullpen Bulletins podcast or Comic Timing. Since you have the core of the show pretty solidly in place, is that an area you're looking to expand into down the road? Keep up the solid work, and thanks again.
That's actually how we started doing Skype,
and it was really hard.
Yeah, there was not much chemistry when you're at home and talking to somebody over the phone, basically.
No, you could be nude.
Yes, you could.
And you know, when
there was advantages to
it. I would just openly just read other things while other people are talking. No. Here I kind of have to semi pay attention.
Well, I mean, you look at other, it's, the iFanboy guys do theirs remotely.
Really?
The Bullpen Bulletin guys do. And this one amazes me. I think the panelologist guys do theirs remotely. And just the quick chemistry that they have, that is a skill.
Well, England's only like 100 miles. Like, why? Like, how far apart could they be?
Come on.
Can they walk?
But it is definitely...
Could they walk to the Village Green?
When we started doing it from here, there was an immediate difference in just the fun that we had and the interaction and everything.
Sal has to commute like 2 hours every time he does this, so if it didn't work, believe me, he wouldn't come.
Yeah, no shit. As far as is it something we're looking to expand into down the road? I don't know what he means by that exactly. I don't
to bring in. I mean, we have.
I didn't know if you meant like bring on new people or say like now that you guys have it good, are you going to not look at each other anymore and just
separate sound.
I mean, obviously we would much rather talk to people in person than on the phone. Phone interviews are tough, and then it's way easier to do it in person. But it's not easy to get guys to come here.
And this is Friday is our social get-together where we would, get to sit around, have a few beers, and talk about comics.
A little two in the morning.
Mm-hmm. You threaten their parents.
Next one?
There's no name on this one, but it's...
Tommy Kelly.
This is from David D.
A question for the panel. Is that what you're...
Yeah. Oh, this is from David D. This is
question from the panel. Come clean about a lie that you've told on the air. It might be a book that you pretended to like or a story that you embellished. Coming clean about a lie long after the fact when it doesn't actually matter is, to me, always funny. Feel free to leave out any key details if you need to avoid hurt feelings. And, of course, only do this if it will be a laugh rather than anything that will make people uncomfortable. P.S. Happy 120...
A lot of fucking rules.
Yeah, wow.
P.S. Happy episode 124. I know that you guys are all... We're too cool for base 10. I don't know what that means. So I think 124 is the milestone you've really been shooting for.
I think
for.
He means that we don't celebrate our 100th episode. Not all of us were even here.
Here's to another 124 great episodes.
That was my first...
the Cecil Castellucci episode.
My first appearance.
I can't remember.
Was the 100?
About
it was 100.
Yeah, I don't...
It wasn't actually Snagglepuss. It was Foghorn Leghorn.
Oh, that tried to sleep with your girlfriend.
I'm trying to think of anything that I
actually was
lied about.
You guys have done a lot of. You guys have said a lot of things that you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Oh, that's
well,
true.
Man,
oh,
yeah.
That's
not
lying. That's totally from lying.
We believe it.
Yeah, we believe it.
That's not
a lie.
So that's just psychotic.
Yeah. I mean, that's different from outright lying.
You know, being misinformed is not.
And that's one of the things that it was really important to us. We never talk about a book and say that it's good unless we really believe
it. I haven't
that.
Read anything in like 5 years. I've just been slabbing everything.
I can't really. Yeah, I mean, we're all pretty open and
sometimes
yeah,
too
honest.
Yeah, I actually don't have a lot of friends because I won't lie. Like, you know what? Like, you're so fucking ugly. Why are you so ugly?
I know. When you say that to me, it does hurt.
Well,
you know. No, I honestly don't know. I can't remember. I mean, I'm sure there probably is something, but I just can't remember.
I've made up something, but I can't remember.
Well, jokes and stuff. But
yeah, nothing.
No, we don't have anything.
Well, I got, now that we're on video, everyone knows I'm not black
or bald.
Well, I tell you what, let's leave the listener emails and let's go to a listener voicemail
from my BFF.
This is from your BFF. This is from Mr. Braxton Harris.
Mad Brax.
Hey, everybody. This is Braxton calling the show. I just real quick, I know I don't want to take up a lot of your time on the show, the podcast.
The podcast.
That's what we're called now.
But,
the podcast.
My wife is a big fan of Scotty.
I know she is.
The whole house.
And Scotty's a big fan of your wife.
The whole Braxton household is.
His kids
it's not,
dressed
not
like
a,
Scotty.
Not the place it was. And. Oh, I don't know. We got new. Is it, what's your fucking comic? The fucking, what is it, Scotty? The new asshole? It's everywhere. It's on the coffee table. It's on the fucking nightstand. It's everywhere. Angela is working on your Wikipedia site. You'd be happy to know.
Wiki.
As well.
The mustache.
So, hey, I'm growing a mustache, Scotty. Did you hear? Yeah, I'm growing it's like a blonde, big thick blonde mustache to keep Angela happy. Pass the
mustache
comment
rides.
From the old wife. Hey, honey, why don't you grow a mustache? It'd be good. It'd be like Scotty, like fucking Scotty. Do you fucking realize how often I hear that fucking like Scotty, like Scotty?
Wait, the name is the best.
You know, she didn't even know how to spell your name, Scotty. She spells it with a C, not the fucking communist femmed out asshole K, like you.
Femmed out. Communist femmed out.
But hey, I'm not resentful. I'm not resentful at all. I'm just, hey, I'll keep listening. I just wanted to, you know, let you guys know, you know. That's all.
Oh.
All right, back on with the show. Sorry.
Oh.
I love that.
Oh,
man.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, Braxton, you are fantastic, my
I
friend.
I fucking
that,
love his
that
wife.
Was really.
She's hot as balls.
Oh.
She's hot. Yet, though,
see, I do want to say, hands down, I have let anybody that has come to my house in the last week listen to that. It is. Casey has listened to it over and over. Every single time I listen to it, I laugh more. When he says a fucking femmed out gay, I lose my shit. And then he goes, but I'm not resentful.
But I'm not resentful.
So, Brax, that was fucking...
I tell you what, Braxton,
zero cool.
This is kind of a thank you to a lot of the listeners out there. Oh. And Braxton has been there from before the beginning.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
He's been there for the entire ride. So we love Braxton. One of these days... we'll meet him in person. Scotty actually already has.
Yeah, he's the only one of us to have actually met him,
which is really funny. All right, our next email is from Gavin. So it's just wanted to say what everyone else has been saying. I love the show, so thank you, Gavin. When Scotty came on at first, I was like, who is this fucking guy? And now I love me some Scotty Young.
Yeah, he just showed up.
I also enjoy going back and listening to past episodes while I'm working or sitting around my apartment drawing. I keep refreshing my iTunes late Sunday and Wednesday nights, hoping that you guys post the episode early.
I try.
You guys have quickly become my favorite podcast. Keep it up. So thank you, Gavin.
Are we going to read any negative stuff?
No.
What they don't know is that... Well, here's something negative.
Celebration of all things around town.
This is something negative. Before he met me, Sal thought he'd hate me.
Yeah, I listened to Scotty on the Crankcast a few times, and I knew sooner or later, you know, we'd meet.
It was gonna happen.
Just because it was going to happen. And I had told Chris, I'm like, I'm going to fucking hate Scotty. We're not going to get along. We're going to clash. I'm going to fucking hate this guy.
Then
cocky.
You found out you came out of the same womb.
And then we met, and it was history. You know,
you were fucking wrong. That's
I was. I was absolutely wrong. And
that's what all I do in life is prove people wrong.
You absolutely prove
Except
me wrong.
Except Tom, because Tom's right all the time.
Here's another one in that same vein.
This is from Tommy Kelly. Hey, guys. Just wanted to say that your show is my favorite podcast. I listen to loads of them. Keep up the good work, and Scotty sucks.
Sorry, very
Scott.
Nice.
Oh. Scott. I'm going to call you Scott.
Scott.
Sorry, Scott. No, you said you rocked.
I rock.
Which is, might be true, might not be. Who knows? Opinion.
And this next one is kind of an this next one's kind of an inside
subjective
joke, so I'll read it. It says, "Hey guys, just to let you know that we would kick your asses at HeroClix.
Wow.
Love the show. Keep up the great work, Matt and John."
Man,
that is
that has to be
penologist guys.
Oh, well, that is incredibly inside.
They would absolutely kick my and I think Tom's and Scotty's asses because we don't. Oh, you have played?
And
nerd.
All I have to say is the fact that Batman can hide behind a sewer grate is not.
Yeah.
Is not accept. That's not an acceptable.
Yeah, I think it's dumb.
Reality for me.
So
I wrote some fan fiction. And you can check it out at my Perfect Strangers fan fiction website.
Perfect Strangers.
Well, that was from Matt and John from the Quiet Panelologist at
One of my favorite podcasts.
Those guys are so quick, so clever.
I can't understand a goddamn word they say. They're speaking English, I guess.
All right, next one is
the book's good.
I rode a lorry to the store today. A chimney sweep.
Next one is from Toog. Just dropping a belated line to give some thanks for the great comic artist episode. It's a good lesson to all us aspiring comic artists to know that there aren't really set rules for the work, which is something I think a lot of people are intimidated by when starting out. Thanks again to Scotty and Mike for all the great advice. P.S. Just finished the video game app, and as an avid comic and game geek, I'd say from experience that video game fans are bitchier than comic ones. A scary thought, I know.
This is from Neil. Sorry about that. Hey, Sal.
Yes.
You know what? I had this problem with this game. This drove me fucking insane. Hey, Sal. I'm sure somebody on the board has probably already mentioned this to you, but Paradigm is pronounced Paradigm.
I know.
Though saying Paradigm is much funnier.
really?
This week, Neil.
Obviously, it's not acceptable enough. Paradigm. Yes,
Paradigm.
Thank you. Thank you for that correction. I appreciate it.
What's up, Paradigm? Aren't they from, Apocalypse? Isn't that one of,
Paradigm?
Parademons.
Oh,
Parademons.
Right,
I was just fucking on.
You really do murder words.
Oh, I do. There's no question.
I think
that
it's endearing.
That I do.
I think it's kind of cute.
Which is funny because I'm sort of,
your research
at the same time, I'm sort of
a
grammar snob,
but
I do destroy words.
Yeah.
I say,
well.
I say you ain't.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I say use guys.
I say you all go fuck yourselves.
All right, we got another one by Tobias Innenborg.
What was that?
Tobias.
Tobias.
No, the last name?
Well, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
It's all types of vowels and shit in a row. I don't know what to do with that. hi, guys. Just finished listening to your guys' video game comic book episode and agree generally that most of the superhero / comic book games so far have not quite been up to snuff. But there is one game that is often overlooked, developed by Irrational Games, Freedom Force, and its sequel, Freedom Force versus the Third Reich.
I played the first one. Mm-hmm.
These two games are brilliant games celebrating comics history in all its features, from the fact that all the heroes and villains are the same way based on an existing character such as Captain America / Uncle Sam, inspired by Minuteman or generic speedster the Bullet, to the fact that all the graphics are mad in style of are
made
in the
stuff.
Made in the style of Jack Kirby. So thank you, Tobias.
Yes, and Freedom Force was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a very golden age kind of thing. And is that even available on? I mean, that was a computer game.
I think you can.
Did they ever make that for PS2 or?
I had it as a Mac
Yeah, I had it as a PC game.
It's mostly
but it was a cool game. It was cool.
Yeah, it was a great comic book game that didn't have, you know, actual licensed comic book characters.
Brandon Clifton wrote in,
is an odd question, I think.
How much does Wizard World cost, including hotel and everything? Also, I was wondering if you could start announcing the top 10 selling comics. When Wizard stopped doing this, I have been without this important information.
Why is that information important, though?
Well, it's important to him. I don't know. I'm not sure. Wizard World, if you're going to get a hotel by yourself and you don't find other people to share it with, you're going to basically pay about $150 a night for a room. The ticket to get in is generally like $50 for a 3-day pass or something like that, or
but
$55.
How much are the memories?
Priceless. They are priceless.
I think it's like $25 a day.
Yeah, something like that. So you're looking at like $175 a day, basically, and then flight and airfare. You know, I don't know where you're at, so who knows? But it's not exactly cheap. But if you find other people that you know are going to be there, Jesus Christ, that are going to be there, and you can share a hotel room with, and that kind of thing, you can definitely cut down on the cost. As far as the top 10, I wouldn't even know where to find that list, quite honestly.
I know. I could find it in 5 minutes.
Do you want to announce the top 10
monthly, you know, monthly sales stuff if you guys are interested?
I'm only leery of that because...
so many of the books that we like aren't in the top 10.
Yeah, well, only because top 10... I mean, I don't know. What does that mean? Like, it's not recommending it.
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, like, right. I wouldn't recommend...
It tends not to change... I mean, it...
Yeah. Same books.
Stuff
yeah.
over and
I mean,
over
you're
again.
Looking at maybe the same 20 titles just swapping.
Just pick your
numbers.
Own top 10 and you know go from there. Don't worry about like what Wizard
yeah.
or
this is always going to be
sales.
X-Men, you know, or
Wolverine.
Like,
it'll be
yeah,
whatever.
The big event.
Wolverine colon farting on a snare drum
right.
sold like 50,000 copies.
Yeah, because remember these are all books ordered by retailers yeah. that will order more of. Some books and very, very little of other books. So
yeah.
it's not like all books aren't carried. It's just, you know, a difference between how many more did this... It's not
and
people
those,
buying
and those,
them.
Yeah, those
retailers
numbers are just
buying
retailers.
Yes.
So it has no, you know... I don't know why you want that information anyway.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Whoa.
Well, no, I don't mean that in a...
Dummy!
No, I just mean
I'm kidding.
I'm curious no. as to why he wants that information, and send us another follow-up
same
email.
Yes.
Over and over again.
And
tell us. Tell us why.
I have this next. I will read this.
You
next
do
letter.
It. You
go,
do
go
it.
Go for it.
Go.
Then.
This is from.
Go.
I'll get to that. And then love the show, and I have been listening for a few months. I have a couple of questions to throw out there. During Top of the Stack, sometimes Tom will say this
Good
goes
Lord.
Against my rule, and then talk about a book.
Yeah.
Have I said that?
Yeah, but the rule is. Not your rule necessarily, but you like we tend to try and not pick like mainstream books. We're trying to find interesting other stuff.
I try
stuff.
Not to pick the same thing over and over.
Yeah,
again.
So you have we have some unwritten yeah on top of the sack. We have some unwritten rules, which
well
you know.
Only because of the nature of like I have a pull list, so I get the same books every
yeah.
month.
Yeah.
So I try not to because there's up. Books I'd like, so I don't want to pick
the same
Justice Society of America
right.
every
time
week.
It comes out, you know, because I think. That's not.
I think that's what
show.
He's talking
yeah,
about because
yeah.
you've mentioned that before.
Yeah, so
right.
that's sort of. I mean, I love those books, but I also, you know, for instance, on Monday's episode, I had a hard time choosing between Metal Men and the Jeffrey Dahmer book.
Right.
And I thought, you know, Metal Men comes out 7 more times.
Yeah, you'll have more chances.
Yeah, I'll have more
to
chances.
Because I actually was mad at you.
Yeah, and then I was
for
like,
not
well,
picking
and I haven't even read it, but
when number 2 comes out, I'm sure I'll
you'll
love
pick
that.
It, yeah.
yeah, and I'll pick it, and I'm like, well, this book is coming out this time, so
right.
you know.
And I will probably read the trade, and because I'm such a Duncan Rollo fan,
yeah.
I'll probably put it up as a trade.
My other rule is that I won't pick anything if it has 3 of the 5 vowels in it.
Interesting.
Is Dark Tower Comics located in the ghetto or near a hospital?
Both.
I always hear sirens during the shows.
Oh, that's just Chicago.
Yeah, in the city, baby.
Does Scotty love pouches on comic characters so much because he can dream of them carrying an extra Risk pieces in many masks?
Did you
yes.
say that before? That
no.
you love pouches on
oh,
heroes' pouches?
Well, yeah. It's
oh,
a, it's a,
you're
yeah.
talking. Okay, never mind.
Scotty
right.
has.
I was thinking like kangaroo pouches. I'm like, pouches?
Not many people.
What are they talking about?
Scotty's never mentioned this on the show, but he has one of the most extensive tattoo selections of various
Flash
fictional
art.
Worlds.
Yes.
On him, he has Oz on his calf.
Yes.
He has Middle Earth on his back.
Yes, all of it.
Yeah.
He has Mordor.
The Mountains of Mordor.
Yeah, he has
Mordor.
All of it. And the next one, you're getting Harry Potter put on you. But it's
yeah, I've been waiting. I had to wait till the last book came out to make sure the world
there's
didn't expand without. Right, yes.
Definitive.
Sure,
so
sure.
Your expanded universe
of
Star Wars tattoo was aborted early because it was nonsensical.
Aborted early.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, we're still going on Nick Zinn's.
Oh,
Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, I was out on a date with a girl. She
sure.
said something nerdy, so I blanked her.
Beeble-borped.
And I'm not going to say that fucking word.
He beeble-borped her.
She looked at me really weird. Well, she should have. That was fucking inappropriate. She looked at me really weird, and I recoiled in horror at doing this to her, and you should have, because that was horrible.
All right.
The good news is... Well, no, I'm just telling him. Obviously, you know, it didn't work out. Well, the good news is she's now my... Oh, well, it did.
Ooh.
Well, the good news is
yeah,
she's now
baby.
My girlfriend, regardless
you know what?
Of what I said.
Yeah.
And the bad news can mean that Scotty words are an aphrodisiac on top of everything else in his resume.
Jesus, let's not start that.
The legend freaking
yes,
grows.
I am, for everybody listening, I am able to get you mad pussy.
Yeah?
Yeah. But not using that. What? Maybe she's in the Special Olympics.
My question for Nick Zinn is: is it difficult dating a blind and deaf girl?
Oh,
come on!
Yeah, you guys are. Is this fucking Oprah?
You made something up a baby's name.
It's an a rich baby.
And just a minute ago, you're all like, "Hey, jerk off! What kind of question
I didn't
is
say
that about
way.
Like
no.
you want top ten?
No,
you
no,
fucking
no,
loser?
No, 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 no.
What's our next
one? Like,
we got
like the Ed DeBevick of podcasts.
Yeah,
we're supposed
God.
To
all fucking right.
use our
Jesus.
Listeners. Nick, congratulations on finding a girl who didn't recoil at horror at that because
yeah, keeper.
I tell you what,
that's a keeper.
My girlfriend would slap me.
Slap you.
Punch me.
Our next one is from Leland. Hey guys, I have been listening to your podcast for some time now, and I finally decided to be major nerd and write in. I think you guys are comic comedy gold.
Well.
And with the addition of the comic comedy masters known as Scotty Young, Mike Norton, and Crank, all you guys fucking rock.
Jesus.
Fucking rock! And I agree with Scotty. The Watchmen, good, but damn is it boring. I agree, Leland. I've tried it twice, and I've given up, and I know how it ends now. And Sal thinks that if I get on the internet and read some extra stuff, I'll like it or something.
I wasn't saying,
listen,
Scotty,
honey,
you should read these annotations to understand it better. I know your meager IQ can't handle the true genius.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. I mean, okay, Leland, I was hoping to meet you and get a sketch from... Wait, I was hoping to meet and get a sketch from Scotty in San Diego, but I understand why you didn't make it. That's cool. You all keep up the great work, Leland. Thank you, Leland.
I quit.
Sal is very... Now, we at the beginning of the show, Sal was telling us...
Why is it all about me?
To bit, not bitch. And now Sal is getting mad at us.
When did I tell you not to bitch?
When we started the show.
I said,
we
don't make
bitching.
Fun of the listeners.
No, because we were bitching.
You always bitch. I'm used to that.
All right. Our next one.
I'm just defending myself. I'm not bitching.
This is from Nick.
Stop complaining about us making fun of you.
No. That won't happen.
Says, I've got a few different comic book scripts I've written that I would love to see published. I've started soliciting for artists on MySpace, Craigslist, and other websites. I've heard back from some excellent artists and some still needing experience. Thing is, I'm not worried about having the world's greatest artist draw the book.
Good thing Scotty's busy.
Yeah.
Says, I'm looking for someone who has the drive to actually get the art done. I don't mind if it's rough. In fact, I expect it to be for my first published work, especially if I self-publish. What could you guys offer up for advice? How do I pick the best artist for a script, and what characteristics should I be looking for? Not artistically, I mean in terms of work ethic and experience. Thanks, Nick.
It's all a crapshoot, man.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, really, I mean...
No idea.
Anybody can talk a good game.
It's
but
like
until,
any work experience. Like working on anything with anybody, like you don't know until you work.
Yeah, you do
out.
It.
Because people will be like, "Oh yeah, I'll be." Because no one's gonna be like, "I'm lazy."
Yeah. Yeah. I may do.
Casey
do
went
a
and got an
week.
Interview. Right, she's an office manager at an architectural firm. When she went to her interview, do you know Quirk and do you know blah 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 and all these people?
Yeah.
Sure, I do. Now, and then the first day, so I'm trying to learn, and she's learning it now. But
Colin,
who has not fucking lied on their
resume,
either resume or in an interview? I mean, you don't know until you're.
I can't read.
Well, I know that. I've never brought it up.
I didn't read.
So sorry, Nick. Trial and error, man. I guess is.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to read this next one.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Great.
Dear Sal and Co. Company. I threw in that ISR, Indie Spinner Rack, dig as a laugh, of course. The two shows are individual works of art. Nuff said. I threw that as an afterthought only because it was the truth, and there was no negative aspersion except in your mind, and no doubt the minds of everyone listening. This is only a function of culture, not language. You can probably tell I'm seriously unconventional, bipolar, crazy, some bitch who reads a lot of comic books. Well, I buy numerous examples of transcendent comic art, but it takes me years to read them sometimes. But I look at all the pictures right away. You bet. I had to laugh when someone said I was Gary Groth. See why in the past.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you remember now?
Yeah. I was like, what the hell is this about? It was the email last week, or 2 weeks ago.
See why in the pasted and condensed excerpt from my book entitled The More on Civil Disobedience, my technical manual for being an artist and human being. I hope you enjoy it and tell me that I what a jerk I am. I mean, how great it is. Love, comic book shaman.
And he had included. I guess he's written a book, and he emailed us a bunch of excerpts from it. So this was the whole what's the Gary Groth publication?
Comics, because I said
Comics Journal. Comics Journal.
Because I said for like $12, it should come with an obscure creator in a Mylar bag.
Yeah, so that was, and so we kind of went back and forth on some reading some of his emails and whatnot. So I'd say, you know, no hurt feelings on either side. You know, it's
I don't give whatever. I don't know. No, you know what's funny about this? I love when people go, I'm a crazy, you know, bipolar son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But you should pay attention to what I say. It's like,
I actually
read my book, even though I'm insane.
You know what? I tend to not ever get offended or bothered by words on a computer screen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about, you know, it was like the ISR thing, or ISR dig or whatever. It was more just the fact of, like, you know, like you were saying, people can't compliment you without taking a shot at you at the same time.
Right.
People have a hard time.
But obviously he's trying to be funny.
Yeah, no, it was nothing. I mean, we only read it because
we
thought it was entertaining.
We joked about it, too, as well.
It's not like...
Let's move on.
But believe me, if we don't want to read your email, we won't.
Listen to a roundcomics.com podcast new every Monday. For once, you won't be lying to your parents when you tell them you're not looking at porn.
The next one is from Dr. Mo at the Danger Zone Show. Says, hey guys, I'm nominated along with you in the entertainment category. Just checked out your show and I dig it. Good luck.
Into the danger zone.
Nice. So thank you, Dr. Mo.
Thank you, Dr. Mo. From Kevin Gentlecore. Greetings, gentlemen. I just became aware of the show through Scotty's blog and wanted to drop you some kudos. I just started listening and have been picking some of the more interesting episodes out of the catalog to catch up on. The recent episode about what it is like being a comic artist was very insightful and eye-opening. I would rather hear the stories of the up-and-comers than the well-established Jim Lee types who moved to Italy to work. Not that I don't like them as well, it just isn't personal to me. The same way as hearing movie stars talk about what island they bought. Anyway, I just wanted to say it was inspiring. Not that I have chosen comics as my chosen profession, I am in the creative field and have seriously given thought to going that route. As I am not a long-time listener, I'm not sure if you have given any discussion to certain books, but I always think The Walking Dead is consistently great, as well as most of Kirkman's work, including Invincible. It is what most superhero books should be. I'm a huge horror fan and huge comic fan, so the two coming together is a no-brainer for me. Since Niles hit the scene, it seems there are more and more horror comics on the shelves every week. Maybe a Halloween-themed episode? There are some wonderful titles in this genre, and I think they are worth exploring. Well, thanks for your time, and keep up the good work. You have me for life now, Kevin Gentler. We actually had a Halloween episode with Steve Niles.
Yeah. While I haven't bought an island, I have in fact, bought Chicago.
Oh, cool.
You have an island on lease.
Yeah.
If you don't own it.
I haven't decided
and
yet.
And we've picked Walking Dead Invincible before, yeah. On, so yeah. We've talked about it.
Right.
Sure. I've picked Invincible a couple
And we'll
times.
Probably do another Halloween episode, because that was kind of fun.
Woo!
Who else did we talk to?
A Halloween Spooktacular.
Spooktacular.
Yeah,
Russ Cochran and mm-hmm. Steve Niles and somebody else.
I am glad that people, because I put the feed up from... I put the feed up from the show on the blog, so there's always five, whatever the latest, like five or six latest episodes are constantly updated on my blog, and it's
cool.
Good to know that people are actually clicking on it.
Well, we've definitely, since you've been on the show, we've definitely seen an increase in listeners.
A dozen. I knew I'd bring a lot of people.
It's the X effect. Yeah. You guys ready? You guys ready for another voicemail?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hello.
Hey guys, this is Ma'at calling from the Fixes Hideout. We have a podcast that we do every week, and we love your show. We're avid listeners and fans. Keep up the good work, guys. Thanks a lot.
That was the
Fixes Hideout guy.
Yeah.
Now I'm listening to it. I said I wouldn't, but now I will.
Yeah, gonna have to. No, I hadn't heard of it, but thanks for listening, and we'll check it out. Yeah.
And we got one more listener email here.
All right.
Chris Chavez, Equinox from the forums. Wanted to give a quick shout out to you guys. Fantastic shows recently. Dave Windorf and Rockin' Comics, and also the EA guys with comics and video games. I personally suck at video games, so any game that you can jump in, play for a few minutes, jump back out, save progress, what have you, enjoy playing online with others, always a great time. Looking forward to some of the future releases, maybe some updates for Ultimate Marvel Universe on the Xbox 360. And
what about Guitar Hero?
EA games. Also looking forward to the Orange Box from Valve on the Xbox 360, especially Team Fortress 2. Always a lot of fun getting in, playing, blowing up a few people.
Actually, poker on my Xbox.
Anyway, have a great time. Enjoy yourselves at Wizard World Chicago. Looking forward to the interviews that you've got there. Hope John can join you guys out there as well. And we'll talk to you on the forums. Oh, and speaking of the forums, I want to give a quick shout-out to Dan C., Papercut on the forums, for his work on the AC Wiki.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although, and kind of taking a look at all the information that he's got there, I think he may be taking a little bit easy on the work that he's doing there. I think I've seen at least two or three posts on the forum where he had maybe twice as much information as he typed the entire wiki.
Oh, snap.
You're famous for putting lots and lots of information out there. Let's see what you really got there. Anyway,
Equinox just threw paper cut
anyway,
a fucking elbow.
All kidding aside, great job, Dan. Look forward to everything that you guys add, and we'll talk to you soon. Look forward to the conversations. Keep up the great work. Bye-bye.
Well, it's funny because Dan actually, part of him...
What?
He did the wiki because he felt guilty because... he hadn't written any more articles for the website, and that was
because Dan has a life.
Yeah,
he married with kids, yeah. Jobs.
But, so. No, we really appreciate what Dan did with the.
Oh, Dan's
are
awesome.
They his kids?
I'm
allegedly.
Assuming,
allegedly. Don't know for sure.
Anyway, however you roll.
Thanks,
these
Chris.
Days, it's cool with me.
Absolutely. Thanks. Chris is another one that's been there kind of from the beginning, so it's always good to hear from Equinox.
The old timers.
Next one is from Simon McDonald. Hey, Sal, don't let those guys bust your chops. Future Stacks is great, and we need to keep it around.
You spelled Future Stacks wrong.
Yeah, it's with three X's, Simon. Three X's.
I take it all in stride, you know.
I try and
take offense. I am a little sensitive.
This next email's from Ben. Hey, guys. Just listened to the video game episode. My favorite part was the little Easter egg at the end theme where Scotty talks about walking out on his job at Gadzooks. I like that a lot, too. I had to laugh as I did the same damn thing. At the same Gadzooks? What are the fucking odds?
Oh, what was your name?
My name was Scotty
Man.
Young. I was working at Best. This
Hello,
is
my name
you
is Scotty.
You posted that. I was working at Best Buy
it's
and
like
faced with the
comic.
Prospect of unloading a truck until midnight. I decided that it was for my service plan pushing career.
I love some Best Buy, but It's like everything you bought. I bought a.
Would you like a?
Here's a
warranty?
Keychain. It's 98 cents. For $4, you can get a service plan. Nah, I don't want it. No, we don't get commit. This is what it's like. We don't get commission. This is just
would
protecting you.
You
anytime
I
in the next 45 years.
Would you like 12 issues of Time?
Oh,
Entertainment Weekly. Or fucking
I pretended to clock out for lunch, but really just punched random numbers into the time clock. Took a nice long break on the clock, then punched out, pretending I was punching back in. Went to my car and peeled out.
Yeah.
You know, Lata, if you peel out of, I have to tell people this. If you
we call
know
it burn
how
out.
To peel out, if you put down bleach on the road,
oh,
and
yeah.
peel
smoke.
Out, it'll start smoking.
Yeah. Smoke the shit out of it.
You learn that
put cocaine on the
street
hood of
machine Nationals, DuCoin, Illinois, baby. You learned that trick.
We did
bunch
that
of
in
fucking rednecks over here.
Stood in the
you know what, man? If you put a fucking potato in your tailpipe,
your car will start. As part of homecoming, and we got homecoming canceled at our high school forever. So if
we
you're listening to this and
lot.
You go to Notre Dame Academy, I'm part of the reason
why
you don't have
no
my homecoming anymore. Pretty sleazy, but it was such a crappy job that I've always been proud of that story. Let me know if you ever need to fill in for Scotty. Trust me, we don't. On the show, since we obviously share similar life experiences. Really, because...
Do you draw new X-Men?
Keep up the great work and have fun in San Diego.
San Diego?
San Diego. Well, he obviously puts it.
He's an old
Beeble. Blah, blah, blah.
Beeble.
Oh, but you know what? It's good, because he goes,
nah. That's
not worth it.
Thank you.
All next right. one is from Joe P. Said, I have to strongly disagree with the idea of casting Topher Grace as Yorick.
Wow.
Nothing against Topher, but his brand of sarcasm tends to be paired with a certain smugness. That's not Yorick's brand of sarcasm.
Well, I guess everyone's entitled to your opinion, but yours is wrong.
My mom says that Topher Grace in That 70s Show often reminds her of me
you?
Interacting with my parents.
Well, interesting.
Yeah. I can see that.
Smug. No, I think...
Were you smug to your parents? Were you
have a certain smugness about me, if you haven't noticed.
I think, you know what, Joe P. is probably exactly like Topher Grace, and that's why he hates Topher Grace. There's not enough room in this world
sense.
For the both of them.
Ah.
We had a couple of white entries
like
here on the emails. Hey guys, Scotty called it right. At first I fucking hated him, and now I love him.
This is the third time this
but the question remains, will that ever happen with Crank?
Oh! Another Oprah moment.
Actually, I think Crank is on the live chat. Will people ever start to love you? Let me see Crank's response.
I don't see why people would hate Crank.
Hello. I think people will enjoy me eventually.
I'm sorry.
If I work hard enough.
I do not understand. I can't believe Chris would derail the show by actually going to go read what was on the computer screen.
I don't know about all that.
No, Crank just said, oh, snap. And then Mike said, oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Let's go ahead and put this out in the world. That,
yes.
We're going to put a moratorium on two things.
Okay.
The Beebleborp
is dead.
The B-word. The
B-word is dead.
It's just going to make it worse, Scotty.
It's dead. That's
really.
Dead. And the...
hating Scotty and then liking
him. And then loving him.
What about your
abs? I only say this because we actually don't print like 20 or talk about 20 emails a week where... The thing is everybody thinks that they're the first person that is going to say it, but
you're not.
You're
not cool.
It's not about cool. I'm
what
not
about your
anybody
abs?
Down. I actually don't fucking have abs.
And
the thing
is too, like the 99 Tom is awesome emails that we get. And we only read one. We don't read all of them.
All right, one more.
Everybody's getting all sensitive on this show. This is a bad idea show.
Yeah, the whole retrospective.
We're all excited at the beginning of the night where we're not like, it's
gonna be fun.
Now everybody hates everybody except Chris. Chris is happy because he's just staring at the camera.
No, that.
What?
I quit.
Somebody give me a beer.
All right, I meant that as a joke. Because we only get probably 5 emails.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Unless you're whoring your book, and then you're probably sending us like 20 emails. Yeah.
I delete those. So. last one is from Light Bomb Mike. So my question is, before you all got together to talk comics on Friday night, just how badly did you annoy everyone around you to itch that comic scratch? And now that you're famous podcasters, give us the over-under before one of you, Reed Tom, starts a cult, barricades yourself in a house with a multitude of underage girls, and dies in a shootout with police wearing only a wife beater, boxers, and steel-toed shoes.
Oh, you just described checks, my week.
Yeah, check CNN
I do
on
have steel-toed shoes. Thanks for, and a high-powered rifle. Thanks for all the entertainment and for bringing Scotty to the show. Well, we didn't. We didn't kidnap him. I've enjoyed his rants for a while now, and it is great to get a regular dosage outside of
Scotty's comics. Like Wonder Woman. We made him out of clay.
Yeah.
And he was blessed by the gods.
And I have awesome tits.
I'm looking forward to harassing you guys at Chicago.
Mike's a cool guy. He's a good artist, too. He was part of the animation club, and they invited me out to give a lecture at his college a couple years back at Edinburgh University.
Is he doing Cereal
and Pajamas? Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he actually, he emailed me last week. I guess they had somebody to write kind of an intro for him. And
Fell through.
Yeah, they at the last second fell out and emailed me, please, can you help out? And he acted like, you know, like I wouldn't do it or something. And I was like, well, sure. And it just took a couple minutes and wrote him one. But and he got a chance
did
to look
at did you use awesome in it at all?
I might have. It's a really good story, though, about it has nothing to do with comic art. It's a story about
an awesome story.
A tragic pajama story from my childhood.
Oh.
I won't ruin it by talking about it now.
I can't wait to pick that up at
Didn't
Chicago.
Didn't feces?
Personally,
no, but I'm going to kill my cousin.
Going back to his question about did we drive people crazy about our comic books, I never talked. I mean, that's what's the point of this.
Tom's girlfriend didn't even know he read comics last week when Sal and I busted him out on it at dinner.
Actually, we owe the show to Andy Diggle and Jock.
What?
Because without the losers poster that I put up at work, Sal probably never would have known that I was a big comic fan.
Yeah, and you guys already worked together, right?
We worked together. And
how many years did you work together?
Oh,
it wasn't that long.
A couple months.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I never talked comics with him.
How many times have you guys done it?
A couple times. Yeah.
But it was by accident.
Yeah, it slipped.
Slipped. I'm going to barricade myself after Wizard World Chicago, probably.
Probably. Yeah.
Probably going to be really strung out.
You won't ride home with me on the blue line that night either.
What was that?
You won't ride home with me on the blue line that night either.
Get on that fucking train. I'm just going home.
I'm not waiting for your luggage,
Chris.
I'm leaving now. Well, since this is our live streaming video, should we take one question from the folks that are watching? I tell you what, if folks. Anyone in the chat, go ahead and throw up a question, and we'll ask it real quick. And we'll wrap this up.
You're listening to the excitement of the internet.
Next question.
The lag time is 25 minutes. God damn, we're still waiting for a question. No one wants to ask us anything.
Braxton said fuck off.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you,
Braxton. That's exactly the right answer.
Anybody have a real question, actually?
Any real questions?
No, none. A bunch of jokers.
Yeah.
Funny fuckers.
Everybody.
Can you name one comic that has been around for a while that you've just discovered?
That's a good question.
Okay. Who was that?
That was from Radio Wayne.
Good job, Radio Wayne.
Thank you.
Name one comic that has been around for a while that you've just discovered.
American Flag I didn't really read until last year, and I picked up a bunch of issues. So, I mean, it's not around now, but it's old.
Right.
And you know, I read that.
Nexus. I've never read Nexus, and now I'm going back and reading through them.
There's an artist. I don't know of all books I've known about, I haven't read them, and I'm just now reading them. But there's an artist that's been around for a while, and I don't necessarily know. I don't even know how much long, but I know he's done a fair amount of stuff. But Tommy Lee Edwards.
Oh sure.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I've missed this guy because
you know whenever
he's fucking incredible.
When
man.
You were talking
he's
about
invisible.
About design, and when we were talking about lettering and coloring. And he's talked about when he draws panels, he draws the word balloon captions in there, and he draws them as the design of the panel.
Right.
And he said it's been asked of him before to move the word balloons around. He's like, well, no, I can't because that's part of the design.
Yeah, as an artist, everything when he just does black and white illustration with ink. Some people might not know that he did a lot of. Developmental artwork for the Harry Potter movies.
Oh wow!
Paintings, obviously the Daredevil you know, some of the Brubaker Daredevil covers, the paintings he did for those.
His bullet points miniseries was great.
I mean, he is just, I don't know, he's one of those guys, like, how did I miss this guy? I got a chance to sit and talk with him a little bit at Heroes Con this year, and I was just, I bought a piece of original art from him. And
did the Question miniseries?
Yes, yes.
There's a couple of things that I just recently read that Animal Man is a series that I had, the Grant Morrison Animal Man, I had never read before. Doom Patrol was another one, Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol that I never picked up.
I just started reading Tom Strong for the first time.
There you go. That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's part of the year of Alan Moore, which I've been talking about, but I have been reading the Alan Moore.
Runaways was a book that I didn't pick up until it was already into its second season, and I've been enjoying that of late. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. That's about it.
All right. Well, Wayne, thank you for being the interactive member of the show. everyone that sent in emails and forum posts and
listeners,
voicemails, everything.
Yeah, thanks.
This was really a thank you
to
episode
another
to
124 episodes.
You think we'll make it?
David. We'll see you at 248.
All right. Well, I tell you what. Let's wrap this puppy up. Our next episode,
close this
I'll
bitch.
Let you know, is Wizard World Chicago. So.
Yeah.
Look for many many con reports coming up from that. If you have
Drunken.
A chance, I think you have two more days as of the release of this episode to vote for us, because we have been nominated for the Best in Entertainment category for the 3rd Annual Podcast Awards.
I voted for
If you'd like to cast your
vote,
please do so at podcastawards.com. It's quick, it's painless, and you can vote once a day now through August 11th, which, like I said, is just a couple
days
from now.
If you're going to cheat, don't tell us about it.
Please.
Other
don't be fucking
podcasts
cheaters.
Nominated are the Collected Comics Library in the general category, the Comic Book Queers in the GBLT category. Go vote for those guys. We love them. And
what's GBLT?
Was
gay, lesbian, transsexual, blah, blah, blah.
Try anything.
So go cast a vote for us. We'd really appreciate it.
And you can also join our friends of the program. Go to aroundcomics.com, where you can download and print out our LCS Challenge flyer. Ask your comic shop manager or owner if they will display it in the store. If they do, send us an email. We'll mention you and the store on the show, as well as post it on our site. Become a friend of the program today.
And the only thing that comes close to getting Chris as aroused as Rucka does is the iTunes review.
Imagine if Greg Rucka noticed an iTunes review.
Oh,
fucking existence. It'd be like... if you figured out what life was about,
the meaning
life
of
was,
life.
The meaning of life.
The
life
universe
would,
destroy
God
itself.
Designed the world like
it's
that.
It's like if you became made out of mirrors and you looked into a mirror.
you just blew my mind. That was the sound of my mind.
It's just.
So thanks to everybody who's left iTunes reviews: Danathan, Lightbomb Mike, Mr. Vinegar, and Mr. Frank G.
And make sure to check out all the great things Around Comics has to offer. We post next week's topics on Tuesdays at our forum at Around Comics. Remember, you can also visit us at comicspace.com/aroundcomics and myspace.com/aroundcomics.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. Find more great podcasts at http://www.comicspodcast.com.
Thanks again to InStock Trades for sponsoring this episode.
www.instocktrades.com.
Waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship for free. Whether you're buying an absolute edition or catching up with showcases and essentials. InStockTrades.com is your new best
BFF.
Just like Braxton.
Just like Braxton. And we are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit
www.heroinitiative.org.
Or call
310-909-0-9-7809
period
and ask for charity.
Cherry tea.
And remember, if you're going to be in Chicago this weekend for the Wizard World Chicago show, I'll be at.
We'll be there.
Yeah, we'll be there. I'm going to be at the Hero Initiative booth on Friday morning from
I'll be working
9
out in the hotel gym
from 9 to 11:30. I'll
6
also be there
pushing metal
on Saturday from 3 to 5. You can also find David Price from Bullpen Bulletin. You can find Ron from iFanboy. Either Steve or Eric from the CBQ podcast.
I'll be
and
lurking.
Others. Dancy is going to be there.
I'll be there. I'll be digging through the quarter boxes. I'll be wearing a Brewer's hat.
If you can pin him to the floor, he'll give you $5.
Yeah, but what? Up, but here's the thing, though.
Make him say uncle.
I'm not going to wear a Brewer's hat and some dude who's wearing a Brewer's hat.
It's going to be Matt Kramer. It's going to be Matt Kramer.
Fucked up.
Yeah. It's going
to keep trying to tackle him.
Yeah.
Or people are going to walk up and be like, all right.
Are you Tom Cater?
Hey, Caters.
Can't punch me.
Oh, I'd like to,
that's against the rules.
I'd like to thank everyone for being a part of this today. Sal, Scotty, yeah, Tom, as always, Mike Norton, who started here and is now looking at us from his video camera.
He's
at home.
He's not anymore, though, is he? Oh, is he back?
Norton, you there?
No, it's his empty chair now. We have empty Norton chair.
That sucks.
Everyone, it's been a lot of fun. Hope you're able to make it out to Wizard World Chicago. We'll be back next week with all of our con wrap-ups and then all sorts of fun stuff after that. Have a great rest of your week and weekend.
Okay.
In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere in.
And around.
Comics!
We're like the Tron of comic book podcasts now. We're like recording live. People are watching us. And we're trapped inside like a virtual world.
Oh, it's like Max Headroom.
Yeah. Scotty's driving its electric tank. That's
we'll be everywhere in, around. Comics. I would go comics.
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me?